The Sharpshooters, episode 79, June 17, 2006. Welcome, everybody, to the Sharpshooters Wrestling Podcast. I'm Eric.
And I'm Marcus, the grand finale.
Oh, God, you're whispering now. We are the Sharpshooters. We do a podcast about wrestling. We talk about the happenings in wrestling. Explain to me, why are you whispering before we...
Today was just to whisper. You know, I just felt like doing... I try to do it differently every week, and I haven't done it like this yet.
That's another reason why you don't come in loud. You don't always look at the mic. You're always looking at me.
Yeah, that is a problem.
So that's just your problem. Anyway... Let me give out our website information. That's thesharpshooters.blogspot.com.
Hoorah.
Our email address is thesharpshooters@gmail.com. Hoorah. If you would like to get in contact with us, you have two ways to do that. You can either email us. Did I already give out the email?
Email is one of the ways you can get in contact with us.
But there's another way. You can simply leave a voicemail via Skype by using the username thesharpshooters. Or you can call 310-928-6889, and that way you can leave a voicemail.
Or you can use MySpace.
MySpace is another
way. Use a comment.
Post a comment. But just let you know about the MySpace. We normally don't check it that much, so if you can, send us an email and let us know that you posted something on MySpace.
Well, they do that. Yeah, MySpace automatically.
Let us know that you're sending a comment. I don't know. It works out kind of funny. Wrestling. Well, this episode, which you're in store for, we have the ECW report. SmackDown report,
yep.
And listener feedback. But before I start off with the show, and Mark is getting to his report.
What report?
Know, this, your frapper, you got any? Oh, Italia scored. Italy scored.
Damn.
Well, anyway, Marcus, you don't have no frapper news or nothing like that?
This is very disorganized.
Do you have frapper news?
Yeah.
Okay, wait. Let's pause right there.
What are we doing?
Because I have something to say. People, this Sunday, the DS Lite came out. In the U.S.
No.
The greatest thing ever. Mario Brothers, I'm having a great time. Just wanted to point that out. Love my DS Lite. Now back to wrestling. Marcus, who joined the Frapper Map?
The Frapper Map was the kid from London, England. United Kingdom.
Marcus, crumbling up your notes, is that really...
I put them in my pocket.
Okay.
It's easier that way.
Well, anyway, enough of our childish banter. Let's move on.
Did we banter?
I don't know.
But this was really like the most wasted introduction we have ever done.
No, we have done worse.
I feel that there was nothing accomplished
the
in this introduction.
The first story is that WWE has released Goldust.
Oh, no.
I'm going to read the statement. WWE has come to an agreement on the release of Goldust, Dustin Runnels, as of June 14, 2006. WWE wishes Dustin the best in all of his future endeavors. Don't they always wish everybody the best in their endeavors?
Yeah, but do you know they don't really wish him the best?
I can't have you be distracted by the World Cup, so I'm turning it off, Marcus.
You can't turn off the World Cup.
I just did that.
I'm not distracted!
So, the ramifications of Goldust being released, how does this affect Snitsky? Does this mean that he's next?
It just means he's alone again.
And how does Funaki and Scotty Tuhati continue to avoid the guillotine of WWE when it comes to releasing superstars?
Scotty can take a hell of an ass whooping. Funaki, how you gonna fire? And how can you fire Funaki? He's the number one SmackDown announcer. You can't fire the number one. When you're ranked number one, how do you get fired?
Because you're Funaki.
That's like firing the best car salesman at a car dealership.
Do
you
see Dustin Runnels appearing in TNA?
Well, he was there before. I don't see it because... I wouldn't sign him because you got enough old dogs there, and bringing in Goldust isn't going to shake the foundation of the new face in wrestling.
The sad part about it, when you bring him into that federation, you don't bring in Goldust. You bring in Dustin Runnels because only WWE has a license to be Goldust.
Yes.
So that, of course, I'm pretty sure Goldust will be back when the WWE needs another weirdo to do something stupid again. Moving on, as you guys
are. And his daddy's like the writer.
But they don't really get along.
Oh. Well,
as
he hired
him. As you guys all know, this week, ECW premiered on the Sci-Fi Network. Yes, it was a less than stellar show, but good news is that they scored a good rating. Apparently, they scored a 2.7 cable rating with a 4.0 share.
For the last time.
What?
That's for the last time?
I don't think it's for the last time, Marcus. I'm going to tell you why. ECW fans are loyal, and I think they realize the errors in their way. And being a good businessman, I read a quote on the internet by Vince McMahon. Understands that they dropped the ball in the first premiere of this show, and they realized that the rating was kind of hiked because of it being a premiere episode. But they're saying that episode two, they know they have to step up.
They better step up. It was garbage. Boo-boo. A total tobacco. Hell. Fire and brimstone.
Shut up, Marcus.
Couldn't amount to this.
Mark, I don't need your thing. I don't need your rant now. Anyway, so as you guys all know, though, in order for the ECW to be picked up by USA in the fall, they need to average a 1.0 rating. A 2.7, I mean, they have beat TNA because TNA doesn't even get a 1. They get like a 0.9.
They get a 1 point. They get a 1 point something.
No, they have. I don't know if they ever achieved a point.
Yeah, they bended that.
Well, they average a 0.8, 0.9. So, we'll see what happens. Like I said, the debut was not that great. And, you know, we'll get more into that when we go into the ECW report.
Yes.
Now, today we're on the eve of Slammiversary.
Woo!
That is TNA's pay-per-view. Don't really care, but I have to go over the matches.
How do you not care?
I just don't, Marcus.
We got to go over the matches and get predictions.
For the last couple of weeks, Impact just... They have pissed me off so much that it just... It boggles my mind.
How they pissed you off?
Yes, they have.
They have.
So I'll say that.
Tragedy.
I'll say that when I do the TNA report on Tuesday. All right, the first match, of course, is for the heavyweight title. That's the King of the Mountain match. The participants are Christian Cage, Abyss, Ron the Truth Killing, Jeff Jarrett,
keep
and Sting.
Keep getting in
there. Who, the Truth?
Yes.
I honestly feel that my prediction for this match, I think Christian is going to win because they keep telling the whole thing that the champion has never retained. But in an upset fashion, I wouldn't be surprised if the Truth won. That's just my sleeper pick.
I have Christian Cage winning. Period.
Period.
Period. Because did we score?
Can you do the show, Marcus?
We scored!
Marcus, could you do
the
show?
You got to put the game on there.
Can you do the show? Could you do the show? Focus on... You was making your point, Marcus. Can you go back to making a point?
I'm sorry, but the damn World Cup. Yes!
Okay, Marcus, can we go back to the point?
All right, what was I saying?
You was talking about Christian winning the King of the Mountain.
Oh, period, because I can't see the Truth winning. He hasn't been sold, period. Sting, they wouldn't drop belt to Sting when he's in a feuding with Jarrett, and they don't want Jarrett and Sting to be feuding for the title. I can see a triple threat match in the future with Sting, Jarrett, and Christian, but as Christian as the champion. And then that's how Christian can lose probably in the next pay-per-view against Jarrett Sting in like a triple threat match.
Well, no, I can see them building up some tension between Sting and Cage. Simple as that. I just can see something of that nature happening. But for me, I'm going with Christian Cage, but I'm going with the Truth as a sleeper. So the next match is, and this is what TNA puts on their website,
unstoppable.
This is the match between the Samoan Submission Machine, Samoa Joe, versus Big Papa Pump, Scott Steiner.
Or the Big Papa Dump.
Now, the easiest thing to say is, damn, red card. That's serious right there. The person to say who's going to win this match is Samoa Joe, hands down. He's the X Division champ. He's not losing.
Now, here's the thing.
Oh, shit. Anyway,
this World Cup is very distracting, but we're trying to perform the show under holiday circumstances here.
Go ahead, Marcus.
What are you saying? Now, this is interesting. I'm not sure who's going to win.
You
personally,
don't?
Because I feel Steiner has a hell of a chance in winning, although I don't want him to win. But I doubt it if Steiner be the guy that destroys the most winning streak. So I'm picking Joe. But the reason I can see Steiner injuring Samoa Joe in that match.
But the question is, and you pose a very good question, who ends Samoa Joe's winning streak? Who does this?
Well, I have speculations that...
Speculations?
If you put Chris Sabin against him, I know they have fought many times and lost, but Sabin can beat anybody. I feel that it's going to lead to Kevin Nash stopping the streak.
I'll put it this way. I don't think that he's going to lose to any X Divisioner. I think what's going to happen
Kevin
is...
Nash.
No.
It's Kevin Nash.
They're going to have a gauntlet, as usual, and someone else is going to get pinned, costing Joe the belt, but then he's going to move over to greener pastures. I see the only person that can defeat Joe has to be the NWA champion. That way, you solidify the champion more. If Christian Cage is still the champion and he defeats Joe, then you can build Christian off of that because, you know, Christian has been diminished of late of him ending the undefeated streak.
Well, just my opinion. I would take the NWA title more seriously if they had Samoa Joe in the running for it. Because to me, he's like the best guy they have there. You know, I mean, he's one of the most entertaining. Him, Daniels, and Styles is where it's at for me. I mean, it's like, after that, it's like, they're the rest.
All right. Speaking of
Styles. I got Kevin Nash.
But speaking of Daniels and Styles, we move on to the NWA World Tag Team title match. That's between AMW, America's Most Wanted, versus AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels. This match, I think I'm going with Styles and Daniels. For the simple fact, I think TNA feels that AMW has had the belt for too long.
Well, I got AMW winning for that fact. I got the team beating AMW eventually being either the James Gang or Team 3D. But currently, I feel the Naturals will be the team to beat AMW. And you don't want the Naturals feuding against AJ and Daniels. So I got AMW winning this match.
Well, the reason why I'm picking AJ and Daniels is for the simple reason of the Naturals. I think you can have a better match with the Naturals versus AJ and Daniels. So a more easier way for it to be done. So that's why I'm going with AJ and Styles. And plus, they got this one-time-only match. They made that promise with Larry Zbysko. It just seems, and then
well,
plus,
that's a good way to break them up as a tag team.
And then plus, they don't have anything to do with AJ and Daniels at this time. All right, the next match is the match
I think they could dig up something.
The next match is the match that you asked, why is this happening again? It's Rhino versus Bobby Roode and Coach D'Amore in a handicap match. I asked myself this question. Do we really care about this match? Because I don't think TNA has laid a foundation enough for this match to warrant any type of attention.
Because there's no reason for Bobby Roode to attack Rhino that one time. And there's no reason for Rhino to really want this match. Because I believe they fought the last pay-per-view. I believe Rhino may have won.
I believe so.
They haven't really described what happened in that match. And Rhino wants D'Amore now or something.
If I'm correct, Bobby Roode did cause Rhino the chance to be in a King of the Mountain tournament, though.
Yeah, but have they played emphasis on that whatsoever? They just said interference, and they haven't really shown.
Yeah, that's the only thing we see is just interference. But they were so busy talking about border control and giving us rules of King of the Mountain, they weren't focusing on the real true storylines.
Was this a real true story? It's just something thrown together for a pay per view.
The pick that I'm going with Bobby Roode because I like Bobby Roode better.
Excuse me, it's not Bobby Roode. It's Bobby Roode and D'Amore.
I'm going with Bobby Roode.
D'Amore with the pin.
Oh, D'Amore with the pin.
Just the awesome insult. Because
he's been working out.
Yeah.
All right, then we have the Bingo Hall Brawl, which is also known as pretty much another hardcore match. It's the James Gang versus Team 3D. This match, I think I'm going with the James Gang because I think they have more upside than Team 3D.
Team 3D. Don't ask me why. I just feel that it's their type of match. They're not probably losing.
No, it's the bad part about these match pickings. I won't remember when the thing happened who I picked.
Because they won't even make they until they tell you who won, you won't even care.
And then a match that was just recently added is an X Division rankings match. It's between Sonjay Dutt, Alex Shelley, Jay Lethal, Senshi, Shark Boy, and Petey Williams. Apparently, whoever wins this match will become the number one contender. I'm just curious, how does Shark Boy always get put in this situation? And Petey Williams, when's the last time we actually seen him on TV?
I don't know. And why is Shark Boy in this? And what happened to his tag team partner, Norman Smiley?
Norman Smiley was just a temporary replacement. Also,
tragedy.
The new face of TNA management debuts.
You didn't pick. Who you got?
Oh, Alex Shelley, the help of Kevin Nash.
Are you stupid? Shinshi.
Alex Shelley.
Shinshi. You didn't even bring up the Kevin Nash, Chris Sabin, man.
Oh, Kevin Nash, Chris Sabin.
I got Kevin Nash. Although Chris Sabin is like the guy that never loses.
Chris Sabin doesn't lose. You got to go with Chris Sabin. That's the betting man's money.
I got Kevin Nash defeating Chris Sabin at the pay-per-view. I don't know why, but I feel Kevin Nash will do it.
And then the last thing for the pre-show.
Probably cheat.
The match that they give you for free. It will be the Naturals.
I didn't even get the pick for the X Division match.
Versus Eric.
A1 and Eric Young.
It doesn't matter. That's just the pre-show. Go ahead. Pick for your X Division match.
My X Division match, I'm going with Senshi.
I don't know because he's been an asshole backstage again.
So, I still got him.
Alex Shelley set up the breakup between him and Kevin Nash. The union has to been broken.
I can actually see Kevin Nash eventually win the X Division title for Samoa Joe.
No limits, Marcus.
I can see him winning and then sets up some type of battle between Shelly and Nash, a friendship, good old buddies, but then they hate each other and behind each other back and screwing each other.
All right. Potentially. Well, that pretty much does it for the news. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back with our ECW report.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor.
Welcome, everybody, to the first ever ECW report on the Sharpshooters. This is the momentous occasion, the premiere of the ECW TV show report.
Coming off such staggering events as WWE versus ECW head-to-head. That was on the USA Network a few weeks ago. Coming off the ECW One Night Stand pay-per-view, which was a good or a great pay-per-view, depending how you see it. And now, it's finally back. ECW show.
Now,
the momentum, the crowd reaction, the nonstop pure wrestling.
Wait, no, it's not. It's in front of a SmackDown crowd.
What is that?
Kids are in the audience, Marcus.
What?
People are acting. What the hell is going on? But you know what? I suspected this was going to happen. We're going to have to deal with this for a month until they start taping into their own little arenas. Hopefully this ends, but people, bear with us. Let's go up with
bear with us? Bear with them? I'm giving them 3 weeks. They better come out with a quality
show. Give them
a
month. Give them a month. Give them 4 weeks from the next episode. That's
three
all I ask.
Weeks.
Patience. And then also, people, which you can also do, since I feel it's me and Marcus' obligation, you can always listen to our show. And once we say that the show has gotten any better, that's when you can tune back in. But all I need them to do
is average
at 1.0.
Oh, yeah, I just realized I can't quit after 3 weeks.
No.
I do the show.
Yes.
Damn.
Just like I have to watch TNA, you have to watch ECW.
Why do you hate TNA so much?
I have issues with them. All right, so the show opened with highlights from One Night Stand. What other way to open up a show?
Yes.
They played the audio clip from Heyman on Raw where he said that RVD is a champion because ECW rules apply. They showed highlights from Raw involving Cena saying he was coming to premiere. So already, WWE has made their impact on the ECW show.
With the video packages.
Oh, the video packages.
The flashbacks from yesterday.
All right, so after that, okay, now you guys have to forgive me because I wasn't really taking notes at this point, so it's going basically off memory at this point.
Are you serious?
Paul Heyman walks down to the ring. At this point, he's carrying a black bag, which I was assuming it was the ECW title, which I was correct.
It wasn't a bag. It was a cloth.
It was a bag.
It was a bag, man.
It's a belt bag. If you ever order a belt.
I know it's a belt bag.
If you ever order a belt, you get a belt bag.
I know. I wonder how good that fabric
because
is.
It doubles as a shining cloth, too.
It looks like
but
nice fabric.
Anyway. So after that, he comes up to the ring. He says it's good to be back. His usual stick. He introduces Rob Van Dam, RVD.
The whole effing show.
RVD walks out, still carrying the WWE title.
Getting vehemently booed by the kids in the arena.
Because no one knows what's going on in the Cena's title.
No, they know what's going on. They know that this guy robbed their favorite, their hero, the guy they look up to, the man that tell them to take their vitamins and tell them hustle loyalty to respect and give them the salute, has lost his title.
What the hell is up with that damn salute, too?
Selling out for his movie.
Also, so, don't bring that up. So he comes out. He has the belt. They do some talking. He talked about how good it is to be the champion and how he set it straight and all that good stuff. Eventually, Paul Heyman presented him with the ECW championship. RVD was having trouble keeping both shoulders on his thing, and he told Paul that he's going to hold on to the WWE championship for a little bit longer.
Paul looked it very skeptical about
that. I was like,
what
the hell are you talking about? You're going to hold on for a little bit longer?
No, but, you know.
I guess he wanted two belts.
He wanted two belts, and this one spins, in other words.
Yeah, so that's what he said.
That's why he kept it. It spins.
So after that, Paul Heyman then introduced the true MVP of One Night Stand 2, Edge.
How is he the true MVP?
That's what Paul Heyman called him. That's how he introduced him. So Edge walked down to the ring, accompanied by Lita. They get in the ring. Paul Heyman thanks Edge and all that good stuff.
They were getting along.
All of a sudden, Edge pulled a stunt. he decided that he was going to spear, was it RVD first?
It was RVD.
He speared RVD.
He didn't do anything to Paul Heyman.
And Heyman looked on disgusted, and this is where Edge decided to exit through the crowd.
Yes, the dangerous crowd of kids.
Yes, as he's exiting through the crowd, you see a commotion in the crowd, and you see a Marine Army hat. So who else could that be?
Steve Austin?
No, it is John Cena. No. John Cena is behind Edge, and Edge does not know this. Eventually, John Cena attacks Edge. He beats him back down to the ring where RVD is waiting, and then they take turns beating up on Edge. Eventually, they get pissed at each other, and they start fighting each other. Pretty much, ECW runs out. They protect RVD as Cena chases Edge through the crowd.
Yes, and he beats up a lot of the ECW guys and punches Paul Heyman.
So pretty much on the whole ECW premiere, we have had John Cena and Edge.
Lita. Rob Van Dam.
And RVD. Pretty much WWE has had huge influence on it. I mean, overall, to me, besides the WWE influence in this, it was not a bad segment. I was a little confused with the whole simple of him keeping both belts, but hey, you got to do what you got to do.
You keep the other belt because it spins, Eric. Now, this is where the show started off good. I was like, okay, now that I see they have the WWE guys gone for the evening, pure ECW wrestling for the night. We were wrong, wasn't we?
No, because after that, Heyman was backstage and he was surrounded by ECW wrestlers. He said if Raw thinks they can bring the show to ECW, well, next Monday, Heyman is going to bring ECW to Raw, but he's not coming alone because he's bringing some superstars. So pretty much, they're doing an invasion angle again.
They are invading again.
But I guess, to a certain extent, they just have my phone as my alarm. It's what they have to do. I don't know. Hopefully, once Vengeance is over, this is over with ECW and WWE, and ECW becomes its own brainchild.
They let them do what they want to do. They put it back in the bingo hall and do what they got to do.
Now, it's time for the first match of the night, Marcus. And yes. Marcus' new favorite wrestler made his debut for ECW. It is the Zombie.
Yes, I was captivated by this guy's promo ability. His acting ability. He played the character to the peak.
Now, who would win in debate? The Zombie or the Great Khali?
I understand the Zombie better than I understood the Great Khali.
No! This week on SmackDown, he spoke perfectly good English.
It was, although Daivari, last week when he beat up Piper, said he spoke no English.
Yeah, but anyway, that was 2 weeks ago. So the Zombie came out, he grabbed the mic from the announcer and grunted into it. After that, the Sandman music hit, and he was in a crowd with a beer and a kendo stick in hand.
Around the kids.
First flaw in this thing. There is no reaction from the SmackDown Laden crowd because they have no idea what the Sandman is about. You put this inside of the ECW arena, they are going crazy. They are feeling this. And first of all, nobody understands that, oh my God, red car for the USA. That the Sandman is in the best shape of his career.
Yes. And believe it or not, there's reports that he has stopped drinking
beer unless he's on TV.
Yes, that's shocking. And, you know, he smokes still, but, you know, that's good. Smoking and drinking in front of the kids. And the problem with the Sandman right now, he doesn't have the song Into the Sandman.
You gotta have the song. Because they decide they need to play the whole song.
I don't mind it, but it's only an hour show.
But how much do they have to pay to Metallica?
Who knows? But I'm pissed.
Okay, so Sandman made his way to the ring, and he clocked the Zombie with the kendo stick, which I thought was the greatest thing ever, because when you hit the Zombie, apparently does come up because he's been buried underground.
Yes, similar to the Henry when he's wet.
Yes, he wrapped the stick around the throat of the Zombie and slammed him down to the mat. Sandman beat the Zombie, and he won the match. The thing about this match is I thought they were taking a shot at the Sci-Fi Network. I feel you can't do this to the audience, even though you might only be on this network for 12 weeks.
But apparently, witches and vampires are on their way.
But you know what? You cannot be, like Paul Heyman said in that little interview that I read last week, vampires in wrestling, because the whole vampire thing is a cult now. It's like a culture where you have,
I understand vampires.
Where you have bike clubs. But it's a lot better than what the Sci-Fi Network was trying to have, an alien. They're talking about having them wrestlers warp to different dimensions and stuff, Marcus. This is what the Sci-Fi Network wants. Now, also, another fact that I want you to break out, that The ECW One Night Stand, going back to ratings, was the highest rated show on the Sci-Fi Network this year so far.
Yes, and that was a tragedy for the Sci-Fi Network. I just say, let them be who they are. Do not bring in aliens. We don't need David Duchovny coming out of left field saying, Scully, what is this? Oh, it's the Sandman. And we don't need the Sandman to actually become a Sandman, in which he stole sand and people and coming up from the ground.
All right, so after this match...
Was it a match?
No, it was an ass whooping.
Because I don't remember seeing a pinfall.
But you know what? I enjoyed seeing the Sandman beat him up with the stick. In an ECW arena, this would have been a different match. It would have been a totally different feel.
But yeah, because the Sandman would have got popped. It was just total silence.
Yeah, because, no, first of all, nobody knew who the zombie was. Nobody knew who the Sandman was.
Well, I knew who the zombie was. And let me tell you this, Eric. We haven't seen the last of the zombie.
All right, so we see, now we get go backstage, and there's a diva, apparently. I don't know if that's what they call
her
it.
Her name's Kelly.
Kelly says she is going to take off all her clothes for us tonight because she is an exhibitionist.
Vince McMahon all over it.
So anyway, after that, we get back, and then they're showing the match between Taz and Jerry Lawler at One Night Stand.
Yeah, why
now,
do
there,
we need to see
there are
this?
Reasons behind this.
I know the reasons.
Because after they taped it, they had to do a lot of editing because some of the matches didn't go right. And so in order to fill time...
Some of the matches? What matches?
The Battle Royal, to be more precise. Okay. It didn't go as smoothly as I thought it would. And so they added this match, or this thing that happened. Not cuts of the match in its entirety. Intros, Joey Styles, and everything. Yeah. You could at least show the Balls Mahoney to knock a match. I would have been more happy with that.
Yes, that was a quick 8-minute match. So hell, yeah. Let them have their match right here. Same amount of time.
So after this, we get the first match of the night. That's not a squash. Well, it is a squash.
You get Kurt Angle, new ECW, versus old ECW. That's and incredible. Former
ECW heavyweight champion.
Yeah.
Two-time, actually, according to Joey Styles.
Two times, and...
Then...
I like Just Incredible.
But you know what? I read good reports, though. They have big plans for Just Incredible. This squash meant nothing to his career. It just happened.
This is horrible, though, Eric.
Angle
I mean, Marcus, they gave us not one real match the entire night.
Marcus, come on. It's the first
You
gotta work out
The first you don't premiere off. Like this.
You can.
This is horrendous.
You have to.
No,
you don't.
You know what? I have a comparison.
ECW is dead.
Can I go over the match? Can I go over the match?
Go
it's not
over
dead.
This match.
It is not dead yet. Angle started the match with a double-legged takedown and then added a crossface. Kurt delivered a German to Credible and then tossed him out of the ring. He then mounted the back of Credible and slapped him on the back of the head. Credible shoved Angle and Angle butted him with a headbutt. He didn't choke Credible out until he tapped. Kurt Angle grabbed the mic and informed Renner that he's going to make his ass tap out because we are looking at the new ECW. Now, my thing is, ECW is not dead for the simple fact that everybody has hiccups when they go on the road to create new things. Once you rid the WWE of ECW, then you're okay. Right now, they have to cater to the networks, and they have to cater to the stupid storyline with the Raw superstars. Once Raw is taken out of it, and then you just get to promote within ECW, I see a better show.
This was horrendous.
Yes.
And keys to this is that Vince McMahon and one of his lead writers, Paul Heyman, wrote a completely different thing, and then they allegedly changed everything.
Well, no, not changed everything. They modified some things. Apparently this was Paul's show. Just with some modifications, mainly with the WWE segments.
I don't know. That's not what I've been reading.
That's what I
read. Vince McMahon changed a lot of it. He changed everything.
So after this, Heyman asked us,
disgusting.
Did we want Extreme? He said he's going to take 10 of ECW's best, and they're going to have a battle royal where they can use weapons. The winner will face Cena at Vengeance and go to Raw with him on Monday. Kelly then said she is coming out next. She is going to show us all her assets. Now, see... You know what the problem with this is? Because WWE is still involved with ECW at this point. Is that now this battle royal is the ECW star is going to face John Cena instead of an ECW star facing RVD or reestablishing the ECW television title. I think this could have been a perfect battle royal to reestablish the television title.
Yeah, why not?
But right now, we have to cater to WWE's needs. So after that, Kelly is introduced. She walks down to her own little stage. She begins to strip. Kelly had trouble with her bra, which was kind of funny. Taz began to stutter. The bra was removed, and she covered her chest with her hands. That was the segment. That was it.
It was like 10 minutes of total nothing.
Pretty much. Well, I mean, it wasn't...
It was a waste of time.
It's naked women. I can't be mad at that.
You can see naked women anywhere.
Oh, well, I mean, hey, whatever. It was there.
Southern California. Walk outside. It's a naked woman. Just stand there.
I have to say, I mean, it was not one of my least favorite segments. But knowing Mark's, knowing your parties at the Blue Oyster, we know it was a tragedy.
The whole night is a tragedy.
So anyway, we get to the Extreme Battle Royal. Tommy Dreamer, Sabu, Al Snow, Steven Richards, Little Guido, Tony Marmaluke, Balls Mahoney, Big Guido, Big Show, and Roki are all involved in this battle royal. Big Show cleared the ring, and then JBL, what's that?
No.
And then they tossed Roki out of the ring.
Why did you say JBL? Why is JBL in your JBL, notes?
I don't know.
Everyone had nothing to pretty do much, like, everyone, record later.
Everyone in the ring just pounded cookie sheets, trash cans over each other. Sabu grabbed the table while the remaining stars attacked Show. Show eliminated everybody pretty much. He eliminated Roadkill, then Danny Doring, who was not even introduced, both of those wrestlers. Big Show then eliminated Steven Richards, followed by Roadkill. I thought I said that. Then Dreamer beat him.
You say Big Show threw everybody out.
Pretty much
Big Show. And Sabu kicked them out. After Big Guido was pulling his arm, and Sabu jumped on his back with the chair on his leg.
Pretty much.
That's pretty much what happened.
That's what
nothing happened really special. The only thing positive about this is that the Big Show didn't win the damn match. If Big Show would have won, I would have had a fit all night. I would have been just really pissed at what the hell's the point of having ECW if you're going to have the Big Show and Kurt Angle be the only two people that they actually showcase their talent.
Well,
and the Big Show doesn't have much talent as it is.
Now, I'll probably be out on our own island by myself about the criticalness of this Battle Royal. I believe the Battle Royal is what a Battle Royal could be. Now, if Big Show would have won, yes, that would have been a travesty, but he didn't. Sabu won. So now that means we're getting John Cena versus Sabu, something that we saw on WWE versus ECW
already. And John Cena already had won until the Big Show came out with his log of an arm and hit John Cena in the back.
But I'll put it this way. I don't think it's over between Big Show and Sabu. That's all I have to say. Overall, this was the debut of ECW One Night Stand. How can I say? It was a disaster, but you know what? I have hope.
I don't have hope. That's why I said 3 weeks. 3 weeks. I can't stop watching it, but I'm going to call it a total failure if next week and a week after totally sucks. Because, well, I'll call it a total disaster if next week sucks. That's 2 out of 3 weeks. That's horrible.
At least the announcers called the matches that would happen.
Not really. There were no matches that happened.
They did better than Mike Tenay and Don West.
Because I like Joey Styles and Taz personally. I hate Mike Tenay and Don West. This was a horrendous night, and you can't get through your head. There's not one thing you can say that made you say, hell, I need to come back to see ECW next week.
Yes, it is.
What?
Can it be just as bad as it was this week?
That is true. This was horrendous, though. On a scale of 1 to 10, I give this a -18.5.
Anyway, but the thing is, ECW right now is in good standards because, okay, first of all, nothing really comes on Tuesday nights that I know of.
House comes on.
It's reruns.
Yes.
All right. It's summer, so right now it's pretty much all the B shows that are coming on.
So you think you can dance?
Yeah, so, I mean, right now, ECW is in good standing. They got good rating.
They got a good rating, but how far is that rating going to drop? Because you got to take into account there are a lot of diehard ECW fans who just got finished watching the ECW pay-per-view One Night Stand and enjoyed it. They come in thinking they getting pretty much a same type of show. Instead, they get Kelly Stripping, the Zombie, and Big Show dominating in a battle royal. And Justin Credible being dismantled, who didn't look credible at all against Kurt Angle.
I'll put it this way. Yes, the loyal ECW fans will not watch. But they will watch in 4 weeks when they get to the smaller arena.
Oh, by the way, how can they say Sabu won the battle royal? I think I still saw a head in that battle royal before the match was over.
Marcus, shut up. So anyway, that does it for the ECW report. As you can see, Marcus hated it, and he's not just killing ECW already.
If it's one more bad week, it's over. It's done.
I, myself, said, you know what? It needs work, and I'm optimistic
horrendous.
That they can work something out. So we'll see.
This is horrendous.
So we're going to take a break. TNA was been bad. They
no,
have good
TNA
week.
TNA is watchable. This was hardly watchable. At least you get two good matches on TNA, at least.
Not really.
Well, not too.
You call it Kevin Nash beating up a midget quality TV, Marcus.
It had me laughing. It had me rolling on the ground. Quality TV.
You call it not knowing the rules in TNA entertaining. Knowing that you can have somebody hit somebody with a chair, but then if they bump somebody in the ring, they're disqualified.
Quality match. It was a quality match. I'd rather have that. Didn't have a damn zombie getting hit with a Singapore cane for
squash
no
match. Squash match. It happens. It happens in TNA. Monty Brown versus match. All these people. Why? You put over the Sandman.
Let me tell you this. TNA did not debut like this.
We don't they know had, how TNA. TNA debuted.
No, I'm talking about on Spike TV. Three great matches. It was a hell of a night.
But after that, they took it. You got what? One match? One great match every 2 weeks or something?
TNA has produced quality shows.
No, they haven't.
It's not.
They have produced quality. They have produced quality matches.
This was
quality matches, not quality shows. There's a big difference. ECW has not produced any matches or quality show, but guess what? It is the first show they have. Now, if we're at show 10 and they still haven't done crap, so be it. But TNA, this is show number one.
TNA has accomplished.
TNA has been in this longer. They should know better. They
ECW is 10 years in the making.
No, it's not. Not this ECW. Old ECW when it was ran by Paul Heyman. Yes, this is a new ECW.
A pitiful ECW.
You cannot,
a poor ECW.
You cannot judge something on one show. You cannot. You cannot.
Let me say this, though.
You cannot.
Hold on. Let me just break out something. I'm going to break out something. I know you can't judge things on one show. I agree with that. Because here's my example of a show you can't judge. The show Firefly. Can't judge it on one show because Fox showed it out of order. Maybe they showed ECW out of order. Maybe this is episode coming down the line. And then all of a sudden, we're going to get the premiere next week.
Right now, ECW is like a new baby being born.
Failed.
No, it's a new baby being born because...
You can't have it in all.
Let me finish. They have to learn how to crawl. Then they have to learn how to walk. They have realized that having it before SmackDown probably would not work unless the ECW stars get over, which I highly doubt with there being kids in the audience.
Like I said, if this doesn't work on Sci-Fi, make ECW an internet show. Why not?
All they have to do, why? So people on Max can't watch it? That's bullcrap.
No,
it needs to make it to the TV. And all they have to do is average a 1.0 rating. So pretty much I go out there, even if you don't watch it, leave your channel turned to it, because I guarantee you, if ECW make it to the USA Network, it will be a 10 times better show than what the Sci-Fi Channel is trying to do, because the Sci-Fi Channel is trying to make this damn show apply to their sci-fi TV watchers.
Let me say this. It won't make it. Oh, by the way, you forgot to fail to mention that there was a damn vampire standing outside the building.
I did not notice that.
There was a damn vampire standing outside the building.
I have no quarrel with vampires. I love Gangrel. I love The Brew. That crowd was entertaining.
You also love Vampiro.
I never seen Vampiro.
You've seen him in
WWE. But you know what?
Like, we have spent
enough time on this crappy show.
Hold on. We haven't spent enough time on this crappy show. It's crappy.
Yes, it was crap, but they can improve.
How do you go lower?
All they need to do is have one good match next week and it's an improvement.
Velocity has a better show than this. Although there is no Velocity or Heat Report, because there's no new Velocity.
It's a lot easier, Marcus, and I will quote, because think about this. It's a lot easier. Let's say if you're an artist, you put out a crappy CD, you put out your next CD, anything's better than that. So guess what? Episode number two, anything that they do will be better than episode one.
They could get worse. You know how they get worse? One See No Evil clip.
Well, we figured out we cannot control See No Evil. They buy sponsorship with WWE. It just happens.
They didn't buy now, it. It is WWE.
Do you have something else before I go into the next report?
Or are we done? ECW stands for Extremely Crappy Wrestling right now.
All right.
Unless.
We're taking a break.
Succeed next week.
We'll be right back with the SmackDown report. Welcome, everybody, to the new announcing God JBL SmackDown. I will call this JBL SmackDown right now because JBL made this damn show.
This man is single-handedly changing Friday nights.
I mean, he had me watching crappy matches and enjoying it.
I didn't care about any match that happened tonight. I was just hearing about what the hell is he going to say
next? What is he going to say next?
Classic quotes, and I hope it continues next week. I don't know how you get better than Conte this week.
So anyway, The Miz opened the show. He announced that. But The Miz, he's serving his purpose. I'm just waiting for somebody to attack him, and it's time for him to fight. That's all that has to happen.
Where is Mark Henry when you need it? I mean, Chavo is useless. Take out The Miz. He should be your number one target.
All right, Marcus. So, he announced that Booker T will face Lashley tonight, and Rey Mysterio will face Gregory Helms in champion versus champion, which I thought was pretty good. Next thing you know, this is when JBL music hit, his white limo pulled out, JBL did his Deion Sanders dance.
It's called the Texas Two-Step, according to Michael Cole.
Whatever. He said it is morning again in America because Mr. Ratings will revolutionize SmackDown. And God did, I think he will. JBL is money, and money is JBL. He is an announcing ATM, Marcus.
He's a walking ATM.
No, man. He's an announcing ATM because he's not walking. The Great Khali is a walking ATM. He just means money, cha-ching. Anyway, so the first match of the night.
So what announcer has ever come out in a limousine? Is he going to do this every week?
I can't see him doing this every week. But
he ain't going to just be out there. Gonna come out
he might do it every week, but it might not be televised, you know, for the audience. So anyway, the match was Rey Mysterio versus Gregory Helms. Before the match happened, Rey Mysterio came out, and as Gregory Helms came out, they had a video clip, which I thought was a nice touch, that said that it doesn't take a superhero to beat Rey Mysterio, especially of late. I just like the little clip right there of putting words that's right throwback. Before the match.
That's throwback.
Yeah, but the thing is that's they kept the person coming out instead of, you know, putting the video segment taking over the whole thing.
That's shades of WWE superstars or WWF superstars back then.
All right. So as Rey and Helms tied up with each other, JBL talked about Rey's machismo. The whole match, he pretty much talked about his machismo and how he's taking on all comers and all this good stuff.
And by the way, in the middle of this match, didn't you think the role should have been reversed? Is that Gregory Helms wrestles like a heavyweight and Rey Mysterio wrestles like the cruiserweight?
I didn't care really. I don't know. So Rey landed a tilt-a-whirl head scissors takedown. Then Rey head scissors Helms out of the ring and followed that with a baseball slide to the outside. At this point, JBL distracted Rey, and this allowed Helms to pounce on Rey. Helms landed a swinging neck breaker that only got a two count. Helms then applied a swinging backbreaker on Rey and then applied a shoulder lock. Rey landed a bulldog, and he springboarded with a seated senton. Helms avoided a 619 and landed the lowdown only to achieve a two count. Rey then avoided the Shining Wizard, which was a botch move in a way, and then landed the 619. Then he dropped the dime for the victory. I thought what was kind of cool was JBL being in denial about losing to Rey Mysterio. And then also,
Luke,
he threw the hat at him. Why did he throw the hat?
He threw the hat at him, and out of frustration, it seemed.
I actually thought this was a very good match. I think the only downfall is about this that Gregory Helms really had no credibility. You don't really he's the champion, but have you really seen this individual fight or, I mean, what have you seen him actually accomplish?
He wrestles once a month.
Once a month.
That's what he's about. But at least, he lost to Mysterio. That really does terrible to your career. I mean, who loses to Mysterio this day and age?
You just don't. So after
losing to Tatanka.
So after the match, they aired footage from last week where the Great Khali, the walking ATM, attacked London and Kendrick and Super Crazy. And then Psychosis walked out on Super Crazy. They then announced that the Mexicos will face the Great Khali tonight.
And I was like, yes, Khali is finally going to get his.
Why was he going to do it?
They were going to do it, man. I felt that they had the tools. They had the machinery. Now, they had the will.
Now it's time for Booker T versus Bobby Lashley. And I was questioning this decision because I was like, first you're going to have the champion, then you're going to have the king. What's going to close the show out? So Booker T made his raw entrance as JBL praised him and Charmel as they came down to the ring. JBL said Booker T is so humble, and he said that he is rich on his own, but he is envious of Booker T's richness. My issue with this was that Why the hell was JBL talking into the whisper when the king walked out?
Because he's the king. When the king enters, you're not really supposed to talk. JBL, since being a wrestling guy, is allowed to talk, but only whisper.
The greatest thing about this, though, was that once Lashley made his introduction, JBL went right back into his normal tone. It was like, yeah. This guy has a million-dollar body, but with a nickel for a brain.
Which is always said.
And so as Lashley is walking out, you see coming up behind him, you see the Knights of Booker T's round table, Regal and Finley attack Bobby Lashley.
And they were running, man. They were just like,
After this, they jumped him. Booker T got out, kicked Bobby Lashley in the knee, got him on the ground, and that's when Finley brought out the shillelagh and knighted, cracked him across the knee two times.
He knighted Bobby Lashley's leg, in other words. He's like, da, da.
Eventually, Matt Hardy and Gunner Scott made the save. But
they
the damage,
made no save.
But the damage was already done.
They did nothing. They didn't even land their hands on Finley. They had a chance to pounce on Finley and choke him out or something from behind. Because they were also announced to having a match against Finley and Regal this night.
But they made the save, Marcus.
Which I thought this would lead to a 6-man tag or something.
Well, I thought it was. No. Because we were promised Bobby Lashley versus Booker T. So after that.
He promises everything. He promises Triple H and Shawn Michaels one night. You know what we get? Spears go out to Shawn Michaels with no referee.
So we went to the locker room where Lashley's in there. And he tells the trainer to get his knee ready because nobody's going to stop him from getting a piece of Booker T. After that, we get the next match of the night. It's Mr. Kennedy versus Nick Burke. Kennedy has told us to savor the moment where Kennedy whooped his opponent's ass. Kennedy beat Burke in the corner and fought out with a lariat to the back of his neck.
Thought that'd be over if you're Bobby
Kennedy
Roode.
Kennedy then led it a running kick to Burke's head. Burke tried the mounted offense, but Kennedy just threw him down to the mat. He applied a modified net breaker to score the victory and then stared down Tony Chimel, which is always great. Marcus, squash Mac for Mr. Kennedy, how do you feel about that?
How many squash matches this guy gonna have? Look. Before he was injured, squash matches. Now he's back from injury, squash matches. I haven't seen Mr. Kennedy have one real match other than those tag matches he had early in his career when he was teaming with, I don't remember. Somebody that was fighting Batista. Excuse me.
I don't know. Thank you. I don't know. I just think he has to work himself back into game playing shape. That's all it is. So, after that.
I didn't even do the Mr. Kennedy.
No, there's no reason to. I'm trying to. We're running long, and, you know, I have to do this. After the Raw rebound, we are inside the Mexico's locker room. Super Crazy said that Psychosis, that why did he run when Kali came out in broken English? Crazy asked him if he's with him. He said he's with him like Mexico, and they clap hands, and they have that bond. Then they aired a Batista video. Whoop de doo. After that.
21 days, Eric! 21 days.
After that, we get a savant, the ambassador of Quebec, who invited us to join him in Quebec. Then he started to speak in French. They ended with, come to Quebec.
Like he's becoming a waiter.
So he's
I saw him pouring wine people.
No, Mark. He was not pouring wine. He was a travel agent, and that was a video package to telling people to come to Quebec.
He's a damn waiter. I saw him serving them snails and stuff.
So anyway, it's time
all
to go.
All sorts of fruit.
It's time to go into the Mexicos versus the Great Khali.
So, I want to comment on this video back and forth. So, is he like going to become the French ambassador again? Him and Rob Conway, the French superstar, and reform one of the greatest tag teams? Not really. Larry the Stones.
I don't know. Conway is on Raw, Marcus. Conway is on Raw.
So what? Chavo was on there? You just leave.
So, the Mexicos tried to attack Khali, but he threw him off. Psychosis got thrown off the top rope. Khali sent Psychosis out of the ring. Crazy tried a series of drop kicks, but to no avail. Psychosis grabbed the chair and then decided to walk out on Crazy. Khali chokeslammed Crazy for the win. JBL said that Psychosis was a smart for walking out because he is saving half of the team. So, pretty much squash match for Khali. I don't care. Anything you have to
add to it? I didn't think it was a squash match. I thought at one point the Mexicans had him. I thought they was going to be the ones to get him.
The only one that can destroy Khali, Marcus, is The Undertaker.
You saw what happened to Hill.
Daivari.
Anyway, Psychosis running out again, saving half the team. That was a great line by JBL. Save half the profit, save half the team. Great story. Great storytelling by JBL.
Jabari said the Mexicans and everybody in the building is afraid of the Great Khali. The Undertaker is also afraid. Khali said that he is from India. This is what Khali said.
That's what he said. Well, that was more understandable. You said, Undertaker, I'm the Great Khali. You have now rested in peace.
Now, get this.
Well, no subtitles.
Last week, though, he doesn't speak English or understand English, but he spoke in English.
Yeah, but, yeah.
And he understood.
Makes total sense.
When Daivari gave him the cue to speak, he spoke. So, hey.
He speaks English. Daivari just doesn't know he speaks English.
Hey. They showed up.
Out of curiosity, why don't they use subtitles on SmackDown? Or
because we don't need that.
You know it's not live. You can throw subtitles in there. And I believe you get better promo work for like the Mexicans. You have them just speak Spanish and then put the subtitles
I don't want
in
subtitles,
there.
Marcus.
Or you get the Great Khali.
I don't want subtitles, Marcus.
Why not?
I just don't want it. They showed us clips from last week's bikini contest. They showed how McCool walked out on the contest and Ashley was deemed the winner. Ashley and The Miz are then in the crowd and he asked her to introduce the next match.
Now, this isn't The Miz's job. How you gonna just take Chimo's job away from him like that?
Because she's introducing Matt Hardy and Gunnar Scott.
Chimo, I guess, didn't want to waste his breath.
Then she introduced Finley versus William Regal.
Who I like to dub the dirtiest players in the game. That should be the name of the team. Dirtiest players in the game. Old dogs. They're just bets. Cunning, wise, bets.
All right. So, pretty much, JBL was ripping into Hardy as he suplexed Finley. Finley said something in his eye, and Regal attacked Hardy from behind. Scott then attacked Regal, and JBL called it a cheap shot. Hardy landed a running bulldog, then he landed a splash over the top rope on the outside to Finley. Finley grabbed the shillelagh, but dropped it, and the little bastard from under the ring picked up the shillelagh and hit Hardy in the nuts. This gave Regal and Finley control of the match. Finley came off the top rope onto Hardy's throat as Regal held him up on his shoulder. Hardy flurried, and he was going to jump off the tie rope, but Regal knocked him off. Regal pounded Hardy with knees and lefts. Finley landed a series of European uppercuts on Hardy. He charged Hardy in the corner, but he ran shoulder first into the ring post. This allowed Hardy to tag in Scott, who flurried. He landed a missile drop kick from the top rope. Hardy is inside the ring, battling Regal, but Regal backdropped him to the outside. While the ref was distracted by Regal, Finley hit Scott with the shillelagh for the victory. The little bastard came into the ring, attacked Regal first, then went after Scott. JBL said that the midget tossing and he wants to buy that little bastard because everyone needs one. Mm-hmm. But the great line from JBL of the night was, Hardy had the potential to be Shawn Michaels, but instead he became Marty Jannetty because he threw his career away because he was whining about his girlfriend.
But so that's over a year old, JBL, and he still isn't over it.
Yes.
JBL just ripped Matt Hardy up right there.
Ripped Matt Hardy, talked about how he wanted a little bastard. It was entertaining.
He needed a little bastard. Like, he got to put one of those in his window. Oh, God, I'm rich. I got to get one of those.
Put him on my dashboard, his head bob and all that.
I wouldn't mind having a little bastard just kick him under the bed every now and then.
All right, so Charmelle is showing the dress she is going to wear tonight. Booker said Teddy Long walks in, and Booker says, you're putting a hell of a show on, Teddy. Teddy said he will be facing Bobby Lashley tonight. Booker said, hell no, because I took off my tape and my boots. Teddy says, well, get your stuff back on, because you're going to take him on tonight.
He forgot the Lashley clip of him saying, I'm going to wrestle.
I said that. Remember?
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't.
And then Booker T called Teddy a sellout.
Yeah. And Booker T called him a sellout.
We're moving on. Chavo Guerrero.
You didn't even give me a thought on what you thought of the tag match between.
Oh,
Finland
I thought it was an awesome tag match. I don't know because it was good action.
You just skipped through it.
I don't know if it was because it was good action or because JBL was calling the match. I think it was a little bit of both.
By the way, in between us, we got Cena Weaver clip. But anyway, I thought it was a quality match.
Marcus, can I ask you a question?
What?
You bastardized WWE for butchering Cena Weaver on us, right? But then you continue to mention on the show each week that I try not to mention See No Evil, you do. How does that make you any better than WWE, Marcus?
I don't know.
Could you stop mentioning See No Evil? I don't bring it up. Can you stop bringing it up?
I have a problem.
All right.
I have a problem. It's dominating the box office, Eric. It's finishing like 28th in the box office.
So did you have something to add about the match?
I thought it was a good match, and I think Finley and Regal are a great team together, and I feel that they should be tag team champions.
Even though Ireland and the United Kingdom has been battling for all these years.
Have they?
According to JBL, they have. The Empire. The Empire.
Wasn't he talking about them battling for years?
No, he was talking about how English people and Irish people didn't get along, and how King Henry established the Empire so he can divorce and kill his wife.
Yes.
Enough said.
He established a religion.
Yeah, whatever.
To kill his wife.
Chavo Guerrero comes down to the ring.
Michael Cole
interviewed Chavo talking about coming out of retirement and returning to the ring. He said everyone asked him, did he make the right decision to retire? He said Ray reminds him that he is a Guerrero. Apparently, a poll on WWE.com said that people want Chavo to come back.
I was part of 21%.
He said the people or the fans means that the world to him, and they are probably the only thing that could bring him out of retirement. That's when Mark Henry music hit and he walked out. Henry said retirement is a good choice for Chavo, but it's a shame he is not wrestling because he could show him what the world's strongest man is about. He said he shortened careers and ends careers. He said that Chris Benoit's sabbatical is just a way for him to get away from him. He said that Batista coming back is a big mistake and Ray is ducking him. Mark Henry said, Are you bucking up to me, boy? And then Chavo tried to walk away.
He manned up.
But then Henry Snap delivered multiple World Strongest Slams.
No, now you're making Henry seem like the villain here. He was offering Chavo, say, hey, Chavo, stay retired, man. I don't want to break your neck. All right? And then Chavo bucks up to him, gets all furious, and then Chavo had the nerve to say two words. He was just start talking. Wasn't on the microphone. He pointed at Mark Henry and started saying stuff. Mark Henry didn't take whatever he said very kindly, so he got the World's Strongest Slam.
And then he got rammed into the ring post with his shirt off.
So he just got his ass whooped.
Exactly.
And maybe his neck might be broke.
Once again, another quality segment for Mark Henry.
He should have splashed him.
I like Mark Henry.
After this, would.
We get backstage.
Identical.
Where Ashley ran into Michelle McCool. McCool said she was glowing from the bikini victory, but great, she said here. she would have beaten Ashley, would have lost. Ashley says she likes her body and then challenged her to a bikini showdown. McCool says she would not show her body to the New Jersey lowlife. Ashley says she should stop trying to teach class and learn some class. Like Marcus said the whole night, this was a very useless segment.
There was no need to have this segment. I don't see where this fit in the show that let's just throw an Ashley McCool face off after she hang around with the Miz. Maybe argue over that. They argued over nothing.
Nothing.
There wasn't even an argument.
Nothing at all.
They agreed on everything.
Now we're moving
on. So it was useless. It was just horrendous acting.
Let's move on.
We don't need this.
Let's move on.
I don't need that.
Now we get Vito in the dress versus Scott Wright. They showed a video of Vito going inside the gym, working out in the dress. Just want to give you guys a little note about Vito right now. To sell his character, he is currently still walking around when he is seen in public wearing a dress. Just want to say, Vito.
That's a real trooper, Vito.
He has.
Being a real trooper.
So,
this clip, he's lifted like 20 pounds. So he is
toning, Marcus.
Yes.
He is toning. Yes. He's trying to keep his agileness. He doesn't want to be slowed down by muscle. Sure. Vito commenced to whooping Wright's ass.
But can we talk about his entrance? How serious he looks. He looks so serious. It's like there's no laugh. He's not putting anything else on it. His Vito in a dress. This is what you get.
Vito
in a dress. It's like he's still coming out the same.
JBL questioned if Vito was wearing panties underneath the dress.
Is he free swinging?
JBL called him a giant-sized Dr. Evil in the dress. Vito landed a leg drop across the throat of Wright. Vito put Wright in a submission hold with his head under his dress to score the victory. JBL, as Marcus said, wondered, was Vito sweet free swinging? Marcus, did you wonder if Vito was free swinging?
Gotta know!
You would like to know.
I would. Does he pee standing up? Does he sit down?
Does he go
what bathroom does he go to?
So now it's time for the main event of the night.
But the thing is, Michael Cole defending Vito all night. Like, he's free. He's
but
doing
Michael
everything.
Cole admitted that he could wear dresses on the weekend.
Yes, I wear one on Saturday. And then he got a fist with JBL. Was like, you wear a dress on the weekend? And he was like, no, it was a joke. And then Michael Cole wears a dress on the weekend.
Now it's time for the main event.
We have established that.
It's King Booker. I would no longer call him Booker T. It's King Booker.
He legally changed his name to King Booker even before he won the King of the Ring.
Versus Bobby Lashley. King Booker jumped Lashley on the outside of the ring. He then landed a sidekick to the mug of Lashley. Lashley bounced Booker's head off the turnbuckle, but
King caught him with an inside leg trip and then worked over his knee. The King slapped the headlock on Lashley. Lashley caught Booker with multiple clotheslines as he battled out of the headlock, but then he missed a spear that sent him flying out of the ring.
And that sent us to our first commercial break.
The King pounded on Lashley in the corner until Lashley battled out. King landed his high heel kick, but only achieved a two count. Lashley caught Booker with a release throw. Booker then threw Lashley out of the ring. Lashley blocked a suplex and landed his own. Booker landed the book in, but Lashley kicked out. Lashley caught Booker in a power slam. Can I finish? He caught Booker in a power slam position, but Booker escaped and landed his spinning sidekick. Lashley escaped the headlock with rights, but attempted to move, but then caught Lashley with a power slam to score the victory. Booker and JBL was both struck by the King's loss. They were shocked. Marcus, how did you think about this match?
I think it was better than the one they had previous weeks, but again, when you know he made him kiss his feet. But all I gotta say is this, the power slam is a nice move for Lashley. But
go ahead.
I do like the Dominator. So he can have either of those. Don't do the spear. I don't like the spear. And another clean victory for Bobby Lashley. In the center of the ring, King Booker has failed to Bobby Lashley.
What I like about this match is that WWE actually, for the first time with a character, they're doing the right thing. They have actually made it, they have came up with good reasons why Bobby Lashley can't do many moves in the ring. Why not give him this knee injury? It prevents why he's slow. He doesn't really have many moves in the ring.
He has a snap suplex. No, but that he really has, snaps.
But you know, like limited offense, it makes sense. You know, somebody else from Italy is down again. Damn, I'll be there. Overall, JBL made this night for me. I enjoy SmackDown.
I enjoy it, and I learned something about tonight, Eric, that you are the Will Perdue of the Sharp Shooters Wrestling Podcast.
I am not
and
the Will Perdue.
I am Michael Jordan. You're on the team, but nobody knows you're on the team. Agreed?
I'm going to ignore that comment, and I'm going to take our break. And we'll be right back, too, with our listener feedback. And you ever call me
Will Perdue again on this show, I will slap the ever-loving taste out your goddamn mouth. You understand that?
All right, since you're a big guy, look lonely.
All right, BJ Orson. Oh, snap!
Break time, people.
Oh, you can't call me BJ.
You BJ.
No.
All right, everybody. Welcome to Listener Feedback. We received our first email from Omar while we was watching and recording episode 78. He said, why does WWE insist on doing things wrong? I'm watching ECW on a sci-fi, and the audience is so dense because it's a freaking SmackDown audience at a SmackDown
building.
You
should yell it because he has big capital letters and exclamation points.
I'm losing my voice, Marcus.
Oh, no.
ECW will not stay alive this way. SmackDown fans don't feel like cheering Sandman. There are kids in the audience with Cena attire. And the zombie, give me a freaking break. Don't they see how good One Night Stand was? They need to go back to a smaller building and then start building a larger fan base from there. Don't just dump thousands of wrestling fans on ECW and expect it to look good because instead it looks like a dead show.
Marcus, what do you have to say about that? I agree. You put them in a smaller arena. Some place like the Impact Zone or the Bingo Hall. I believe they bought rights to the Bingo Hall to participate, put shows in there, you put them on there. But your sci-fi channel is out there saying, no, we don't want that profanity out there. We don't want no cussing or nothing. You ain't going to get that rowdy stuff because, well, you are going to get that. But you got to put it in a smaller arena.
Well, actually, apparently, reports that I read in 4 weeks, that's why I'm giving them 4 weeks, they will be going to a smaller venue. They have learned.
Hopefully they have learned. You can't film this with SmackDown.
All right, so
people were going 619. Where's Rey Mysterio?
Thanks, Omar, for the email.
He's right.
We received one from Albert. He says, hey, fellas, I think I'm the only fan who hate these two wrestlers, RVD and Samoa Joe.
I think so.
RVD has a stupid haircut. The Rolling Thunder move is stupid. And when he points to his shoulders, that is stupid, too. I understand Samoa Joe is a good wrestler and does some cool moves, but come on, man. Lose some fat and pick up weight, dude. Norman Smiley got bigger biceps than Samoa Joe. Next thing, Sabu is supposed to be genocidal and wears an Arab hairdress in the ring. Does that mean he wants to kill all the Jews? If so, I think he picked the wrong profession. I can't think of one Jewish wrestler. Hey, grand finale.
Goldberg.
Good job on congrats on the recent congratulations. Sorry I couldn't make it to your graduation party at the Blue Oyster. I heard you and Vito had a crazy night. Just kidding, Marcus. My new favorite wrestler is the Zombie. He would make a better champ than Rob Van Douche. All right, Albert, me and Samoa Joe, I do have issues with Samoa Joe because now he's just getting fat out of control.
What? It's not fat out of control.
It is fat out of control.
It's the same amount of fat he had. No, it's lean.
It is fat out of control.
He's lean. That's a good word. Lean. It's solid fat. And I have nothing wrong. He's a great technical wrestler. As long as he continues that, get as fat as he wants. He can still jump over the rope.
Well, I mean,
I ain't seen a fat man jump on the rope. He's an inspiration to fat people all across the world.
I think he needs to lose weight.
And I think you are the only one who's against like Robin S.
I'll put it this way. I'm not the biggest RVD fan. I have nothing against him, but I'm not going to say he's my favorite wrestler. He does some nice things in the ring, but like I have to say, like I said before, I haven't seen him do anything different. And yes, I still have not watched the DVD.
Of course you have.
But hey, what can you say? But thanks for the email, Albert. The next one we get is from Jimmy from Hawaii. He says, hi, guys. Jimmy from Hawaii here, and hey. I just want to weigh in on the ECW thing. I watched ECW on a sci-fi network and automatically saw how this isn't going to work, at least in its present form. First off, you had ECW product on before the SmackDown audience. Mistake number one, ECW was always an adults-only product. I can't remember ever a child be present at one of the ECW shows, so if they really want to make it go of ECW, they need to have that product on for an ECW crowd, because as you saw it, one night stand, it's the crowd that makes ECW special, because the crowd makes the wrestlers up their game. The first ECW show was a train wreck, but I guess that's to be expected on their first show. I'm not the only one that feels that way, Marcus. Secondly, ECW was the rebel promotion. How can you have a rebel promotion with corporate sponsorship? Make no mistake, Vinnie Mac signs those paychecks, not Paul Heyman. So because of that, we know that Paul Heyman doesn't have complete creative control over ECW. And two, the checks won't bounce. Third, the Zombie Nuff said. And finally, the talent roster. The bodies may hit the floor, but the shit's going to hit the fan. Because of this vampire faction and the Zombie, and for what I understand, there's going to have other strange gimmicky characters on this. Isn't ECW, this is Vinnie Mac trying to have Harley try to fight the TNA without getting his hands dirty? Well, that's my two cents, for God's sake. I hope Vinnie Mac leaves ECW to the professionals and he can handle the Ashes. Also, in answer to your question on who has better cruiserweights, WWE or TNA, I think WWE doesn't know how to market them, and TNA has become the WCW retirement home and are forgetting why TNA has anybody watching them. That is because of guys like AJ Styles and the Fallen Angels. I think TNA does, because at least they know how to push cruiserweights. Your friend, Jimmy. I will point out that, yes, they do know how to push out cruiserweights, but I think that WWE has the same talent level that they do. They just don't know how to work them.
They don't push them out. They don't advertise it. I mean, you have Super Crazy, Rob Van Dam, Shelton Benjamin, whatsoever, the rest. And I feel they could be as competitive if they had an X Division with the same time. They just don't know how to sell it. For some reason, Vince McMahon doesn't want to sell cruiserweights. And again, ECW will not work in the SmackDown arena. And again, ECW should be left to professionals taking another shot. Vince McMahon shouldn't be interfering. Let it be what it was back in the old days.
All right.
Vince McMahon and the sci-fi.
Thanks for that email, Jimmy. Next email we get is from Ebert. He says, hello, guys. It's a sad day for me. It took me 2 days to calm down enough to write this email. The ECW that I knew was no longer. I didn't pay attention to the claim that it's the new ECW. After watching the first show, I was crushed. Let's dissect this horrible show. Cena beating up ECW wrestlers killed the promotion in my eyes. I really had a hard time with John Cena suddenly being a Marine. When did he go to boot camp? I know
in the movie.
I know that he must follow the don't ask, don't tell policy, because that limp wrist butt pirate bends over every chance he can kiss Vince's ass. That's the only way he can still be as over as he is. I was hoping for a new character of wrestler to be on ECW. What did I get? A zombie. I was eating pizza, and when that zombie came out, I nearly gagged. I almost died when the zombie cut a promo that rivals the Great Khali. If this show was nothing but zombie, I would have loved it. the zombie has to be back next week. You know what? Even though, Marcus, you ragged on the zombie.
I told you, we haven't seen the end of the zombie.
I enjoyed the zombie just for the simple thing that he, when you hit the zombie, does comes up and he talks like Great Khali.
He's the resurgent. I just think just if you're going to have a zombie, you really just got to make him the ultimate jobber. And for it, he's be the guy used for every squash match.
He needs to be the Brooklyn Brawler.
Yes.
They showed a shot of the arena. That's not ECW. That's SmackDown or Raw. The backstage promos are all wrong. The first 20 minutes was nearly all talking. That's Raw. That's not ECW. Everything is wrong. When I thought it couldn't get worse, then they showed the entire first match of the ECW pay-per-view. That wasted 10 minutes of Lawler versus Taz. It's a one-hour show. You waste time on this crap? Kurt Angle wrestled a former ECW champion and killed him, a former champ. That's like Triple H beating Hulk Hogan in 2 minutes. Who is writing this crappy show anyway? It's definitely not Paul Heyman. It's not even Vince McMahon. I know who's writing this crap. It's definitely the same people who wrote that damn movie, See No Evil. That's the only possible explanation. The stripper, first, her real name is Barbie Blank. The blank part must mean her personality because she doesn't have one. Second, what woman walking on this planet can't take off a bra? Maybe I can find one in the jungles of Africa, but I have never heard of a stripper, correction, swimsuit model that can't take off their bra. What kind of moron can you be? Oh, and why is the hell she stripping on a wrestling show? Damn it, another 7 minutes wasted. The final battle royal was stupid. If everyone is hitting each other with pans, then it's hard to get excited about those shots. Using weapon doesn't make anything extreme. It makes it a weapons match. The extreme part was the people created crazy moves that creative ways to use the weapons. I can't believe we get to see Cena versus Sabu on pay-per-view. Didn't we just see it for free nearly a week ago? That makes no sense, doesn't it? Joey Style personally owed me an apology. He talked about how ECW wasn't sports entertainment. He was dead wrong. Open interview on the show, sports entertainment. Divas pointing pointless things, sports entertainment. Wrestling matches under 5 minutes, sports entertainment. Vampires and zombies, sports entertainment. I heard witches coming too. Dead crowd reactions, sports entertainment. Tons of recap, sports entertainment. I frequently hate what they did to ECW. John Cena, you have the week off. I finally found something to be more pissed off about than you. Now, I wish what you like when you did the sports entertainment, if you would end it with Priceless. But that's just me.
That's just you. ECW, back in the day, one kendo stick, $5. I don't know.
No, it'd be like ECW being crappy this week, Priceless. Something like that.
No, it's not Priceless. It sucks.
I agree with everything you said, Ebert, because to me, even though when I was watching this show, I wasn't as disappointed about the content. I was more upset of the filler that they were putting in there. The show was complete filler.
Yeah. It just seemed like Shotgun Saturday Night.
Yeah, so.
But not the first debut of Shotgun Saturday. I'm talking about the one that was about a year later when they just had, like, wrestlers you never heard of just out there in the ring fighting.
I mean, you could easily put Steven Richards versus somebody. I mean, you could have actually put some matches on there.
You could have put at least one real ECW match. You could have had Steven Richards versus Al Snow. Who would argue for that? Just one real match.
My issue is they could have tried to at least reestablish one of the titles, the television title. You got to get your titles back. If we're going to really take you guys seriously, you really have to have your own titles.
It's Vince McMahon's fault. I'm just saying. This is all. It just seems like that whole show had Vince McMahon's logic and wrestling all over it.
All right. Now, also,
stripping, promos, and zombies.
Marcus, you're repeating yourself. Come
on. I know.
We don't need you to repeat
you
yourself.
You need to repeat
all
this.
All right. We received an email from Floyd, and it had an audio comment, and it sounded like this.
What's up, Sharpies? It's your boy Floyd just hollering back at you. Hey, I just wanted to talk about the week in wrestling. It was a great week, a whole lot of wrestling. But I can't say TNA. I don't know what they did. That show was horrible from top to bottom, man. I mean, we didn't get no wrestling. A whole bunch of crap, the Kevin Nash thing, oh my gosh. I just wanted to talk about SmackDown. JBL doing that two-step, loved it. He looked a little bit like Deion Sanders. And I just wanted to talk about, get your guys' opinion about all this cross-promotion stuff. I mean, you have the franchise talking about something extreme. You got ECW people talking about Raw. You got Raw people talking about ECW. You got people from TNA, you know, talking about how the ECW and the bingo hall. I mean, my thing is, like, that's like somebody from McDonald's just constantly talking about Burger King. I don't get it. And I do, like, one thing on SmackDown. I love the way they did that promo inside the promo box with Helms. I like that. That's a good idea. I think they should incorporate that more. Wow, I'm really looking forward to that Dusty Rhodes video. Hopefully you guys can review that, because I think I would love to see that. I want to say what's up to my man Manny, all the other listeners in the UK. That was a great World Cup match, and peace.
All right, Floyd, thanks for the comments. Marcus, do you want to go first on interpromotional, or me to go first?
You can go first.
All right, how do I feel about interpromotional? First of all, with WWE and SmackDown, Raw, and ECW, you got to realize that it's really not cross-promotional because they're all technically the same promotion. So you really can't, I can't fault them for trying to interact. So I remember as a fan, that's what you always wanted. Are they doing it right? No. As for TNA, though, giving free publicity to the ECW One Night Stand pay-per-view is ridiculous. They refer to it as the Bingo Hall over and over when you know that the term Bingo Hall is is linked to ECW pretty much. So I just think it's ridiculous. As for the Dusty Rhodes DVD, I'll try to get my hands on it this weekend, but I can make no promises.
No promises whatsoever.
But I would like to see that one for the simple reason it's a DVD with backstory. I like backstory.
You always like backstory. Well, anyway, let's comment on his TNA situation thing about how he didn't like it this week. I thought it was entertaining. They didn't really sell me on the pay-per-view, though. They failed at that. I mean, it's just nothing really special happened other than the Kevin Nash sequence.
I officially have not watched TNA yet, so I've seen some of it. But
so we'll get into more on the Tuesday show in that one.
So do you have any opinion on cross-promotion?
Not really, other than what you already said. The same thing, pretty much. TNA shouldn't be saying the Bingo Hall. They shouldn't be, like, mentioning, like, oh, let's have a Bingo Hall match. I mean, an ECW match.
All right, so thanks, Floyd, for that. We received the email from Manny. He says, what's up, guys?
Hoorah!
Marcus and Eric pledges his allegiance for Cenaville. I'm offering you the honor of being a general of the ever-growing army of Cena. Destroyer's recruits include Umaga, the Great Khali, Mark Henry, Charlie Haas, and after weeks of negotiation, the Sandman, the man who destroyed the ground Cena's walk on, has agreed to terms and now is a member of Cena Destroyers. I'll be damned, you do not have Mark Henry. I have reason. I have negotiation with the man. He is on Team Cena.
This isn't Team Cena. It's Team Cena Destroyers.
Yes, that's why
we're
you guys can't.
Destroy
no,
Cena.
That's why you guys can't have him, because I already have Mark Henry. He's already locked up.
Good.
Oh, yes.
People.
Come to England.
What are you going to do? Eat something? We just get some water. I don't know what the water would do. We'll jump at him.
All right. So he says, ECW this week did stand for extreme crappy wrestling. Was the new vision of ECW a zombie, a vampire? What the hell is the next for the Sandman? Exchanging his choice of weapons for a lightsaber? The show opened up pretty good with RVD and Heyman, knowing that he will keep seeing his WWE title because it spins, but that after the show, it just becomes a joke. I read that Heyman's initial plans were changed by Vince and some other guy, hence possibly the crappy show. And how can you have a SmackDown crowd at ECW show? Doesn't make sense, especially when RVD gets booed. Doesn't make any sense.
And when Cena gets heroically cheered throughout the night.
The only thing I got happy about was the return of Al Snow and Head to ring action. What does everybody want? Head. SmackDown. After the announcement of JBL... As co-broadcast partner, I thought this is going to be one great SmackDown, regardless of the wrestling. And it was. It's a SmackDown full of great JBL quotes. Like, I'll hit you with my wallet, boy. Somebody called the police. The boy was robbed. Khali is a walking ATM.
You know what that sounds like? What? Honestly, to listen to that, it sounds like one of those infomercial commercials like, by Terry Rogers, great CD, with such songs as, I hit you in my wallet, boy.
Or, somebody call the police. That boy was robbed. Or Khali is a walking ATM. Ching, ching. He says, SmackDown went old school this week, which is something I haven't seen since the early 90s of wrestlers in a small square talking on the screen. While action takes place. I think it's funny that the Cruiserweight champion weighs more than the Heavyweight champion. A good opener, but they gotta make the world title the focus point of the show and establish a contender for Rey's title. I guess no one has the machismo to challenge the injured champ. You know what? I would say that maybe you should make the world championship the focus, but then you do have royalty on the show.
No.
So king being the king. The king is always harder than
you make
champ.
The title.
The king is harder than the president.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. The king is higher than the president in a monarch.
I don't care.
In a monarch.
I don't know anything about that. Okay, let me say this. The championship be the focus whatsoever. And even though you don't have a legit contender, you still create a legit contender. Because he needs somebody to feud. You just can't wait for the man that was beat up by Booker T to come back in 21 days to face Mark Henry for the title tonight. You give him some type of contender. He doesn't have to be a legit contender.
So you let
contender.
Mark Henry kill Rey Mysterio?
You let Mark Henry fight him. Or you've been hyping up a man who's been to the Lakota tribe and hasn't been on SmackDown since Tatanka make a run for it at least. Because there's
Marcus.
No...
But what happened to your statement that Tatanka's never
seen? Oh, these are non-title matches, of course. But I'm just saying, you give somebody some type of run, some type of contender, even TNA, when Christian really has no contender right now, had no contender, you threw in Abyss. Knowing damn well Abyss isn't beating Christian Cage for his title, you still had a contender,
Mark, although he did steal the title. Mark, your rant is over. I'm going back to the email. For some reason, I kind of understand the Great Khali. I don't know why. Maybe I was drunk. And Mark Henry went after the source of all his problems this week on SmackDown. After Chavo insurance schemes that Benoit Batista took out, it's costing Mark Henry some money. As you can tell, when Mark Henry came out relatively dry, the Repo Man took away Mark Henry's food. All right, and USA are going to need Kevin Nash if they're going to beat Italy. Peace, Manny, hoorah. We're tied with Italy right now, damn it.
We're tied, but it's a loss in my opinion. Unless, like everybody else tied,
we
win
are
next
still
week.
Statistically in it. We have a tie.
We suck.
We have a tie.
We suck.
We have a tie. All right, we received an email from Jimbo. Thanks, Manny, for your email. He says, "Dear Sharpshooters, how have you guys been?" I've been great. My DS Lite has been doing me well. Mario, Trauma Center. Anybody got any recommendations? I'm out there.
Yeah, I'm on that suicide list again.
Mario Kart. You know, I have online play. If anybody plays Mario Kart on DS, I'm welcome to add you as a friend. I have so much great happiness. Raw was
You're
good.
A sick bastard.
I liked the DX part, then I turned it off because I knew the W would mess up a good Raw. I have no SmackDown report because the Yankees was on Friday, so it will be on tonight, and I will not be home.
Oh, next week.
We're preempted. Oh,
yeah.
Shit. ECW was a big disappointment. I know that it's the first show, but you can't have the Sandman going through the crowd spitting beer and 12-year-old kids. Kelly is hot, and first I thought she was a cardboard poster. Angle is a machine. The best part was the Battle Roar. Order my tickets for ECW when they come to White Plains August 13th. TNA was good. I only saw half a Shane Douglas promo because my cable went out, then it came back in.
Yeah, that's what happened to us, too.
Yeah, us, too. The X Division with Kevin Nash was funny. The 8-man tag was good. What bad acting by Larry at the end. I might be going over to a friend's house to watch the TNA pay-per-view. Happy Slammiversary, Jimbo. Well, when you go to that event in White Plains, please take pictures and send them to me. I would love to see an ECW without cameras.
Oh, by the way, happy Slammiversary to everybody out there across the world.
It is Slammiversary, people. And when Slammiversary comes, we celebrate with only way Slammiversary people know how to do.
With a Christian Cage match.
No, we just don't order the damn pay-per-view.
Oh, no!
So that pretty much does it for the show.
How could you do that?
We have done it for this show.
Oh, and Eric P., we did get your email. We just don't want to use it on the show because spoilers involved and whatnot.
Anyway, moving on with the show.
We have more?
No, that's the show. Our website is thesharpshooters.blogspot.com. Our email address is thesharpshooters@gmail.com. You can also contact us via Skype with the username thesharpshooters or call 310-928-6889. Remember, we have a Frapper map and all that other good stuff that if you listen to the show, you know what it's about.
We currently have a poll, and I believe we should have ended it this episode because ECW and DX are both back.
I don't care.
And then the poll is kind of close. And
I don't care.
Probably the closest poll in Sharpshooter history.
I'll wait for a no news segment, and that's when I do it. But
is that what you're about?
Yes. Well, I'm Eric.
I'm Marcus, the grand finale.
And we are the Sharpshooters. We'll see you guys for episode
80
next time. Yes.
80, man.
So have fun.
That be our Slammiversary.
Have fun, stay safe, and tell us what
Peace,
happened on
love, and soul.
And Slammiversary.
Oh, by the way, I wanted to comment on Floyd's email that he sent us. Stackhouse, that was BS. Shaq just fell down. Okay? No serious suspicion should have been involved in that.
I'm going to play Mario Kart. Bye, Marcus. I'm going to play Mario.
Oh, wait. Let me end the show. It's over. Oh!
I'm not doing it no more. I'm not doing it no more.
Why? You quit?
I'm tired.
Why did you quit?
I don't feel like doing
it. Why did you quit?
I lost the passion.
Come on.
I lost the passion.
Come on.
Sorry.
Fat Albert and Dedicated to Shaq.
No, I'm sorry.
G.I. Joe and Dedicated to the U.S. World Cup.
As Shawn Michaels said back in the day.
Super Mario Brothers.
As Shawn Michaels said back in the day, I have lost my smile.
Goodbye, oh, everybody. No.
See you guys next episode for episode 80. Still.